Welcome to season 7, episode 5 of the Jack of All Trades Sports Podcast. I'm, of course, your host with the most too sweet to be sour at the top of the hour. It is your man, Jack Burney. And what is going on, sports fans? How we doing? NBA playoffs are here. And I thought, you know what? The only way to preview this is to bring on the Chauncey man, Chauncey Seeger himself. Chauncey, my friend, thank you for coming on, talking to playoff hoops, man.
What is up, sports fans? As always, a pleasure to be here. This is the most excited I've ever been for the NBA playoffs. We're going to have 7 amazing series and Cavs Magic, so I can't wait to get into it.
Yes, sir. Cavs Magic. The Bulls could be in there, maybe. They could be the team that gets swept by the Celtics, but we'll talk about the Bulls. We'll talk about the play-in a little bit before we get into the actual playoffs. So the Bulls are going to play the Miami Heat to get that 8 seed. And then the West, it's the Pelicans and the Kings. I don't know if you've been able to watch the first couple days of the play-in tournament, but what were your thoughts kind of on the play-in?
Yes. The Sacramento Kings, good for them. Light the beam. I mean, I understand it's a sad moment in NBA history that the Warriors dynasty is passing. I mean, it's a top probably 4 NBA dynasty ever and probably top 3 since the merger. But how great for the Sacramento Kings as the little brother franchise that never had a good moment in the 21st century. I mean, is this their biggest win since they had like Chris Webber?
Yeah,
I mean, 100%. Has to be their biggest win basically in our lifetime. So good for them. Unfortunately, I think the Warriors are cooked. It sucks for Zion and Jimmy that they had to go out like this. Yep. I think both the Bulls and Kings are going to win the play-in, partially, mostly, due to the injuries to the superstars and the other teams.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what a gut punch for Zion. We're going to talk about it in a little bit here, guys, that kind of have the most to prove in the playoffs. Zion was one of those guys that I didn't think they're going to make a deep run, but this was kind of the first time he was getting a taste of that stage, and he played really well, 40 points, but he gets hurt. So it kind of, like you said, it really sucks to see him and Jimmy go down. But I do agree with you. I think the Kings and the Bulls are going to be the 8 seeds in their respective conferences. The Lakers move on. Obviously they get the Nuggets. I actually think we're going to talk about this matchup in a little bit, but I think it's actually the only chance the Lakers would have had against the Nuggets is playing them in the first round due to health-wise, that sort of thing, catching them early. And then the 7 seed, Philly, the Sixers beat the Heat. They didn't look great. I'm still a little bit worried about Joel Embiid, but, you know, we're going to see. I don't think any team in the play-in is going to win a series like last year, like the Heat making the finals. I don't see any team making a run like that. Maybe one of them will win a series or two, but I don't see any of them making the finals or anything. But, yeah, the play-in's been good. We'll see who gets the 8th seed. I did have one, like, takeaway from the regular season that I want to talk about. I wanted to run it by you here. I think the future of the league, you know, we talk about who's going to be the face of the league when LeBron retires, who's going to be when LeBron and Steph retire. Those guys are kind of been 1 and 2 in terms of face of the NBA. It's going to be in the Western Conference. Like, my whole takeaway, the biggest takeaway I have from the regular season is that the future of the NBA is the Western Conference. You look at, like, you know, Jokic, Luka, SGA, Wemby, Anthony Edwards, all or most of the exciting stars are in the West. And even in just terms of talent, I would take Boston maybe 1. But then in terms of like the best teams this year, but then I would take 5 or 6 West teams in terms of who's most likely to win the title after Boston. So I feel that if it's not Boston, it's going to be a West team that wins the title. Speaking of Wemby, I know you had some thoughts about Wemby and an interesting cross sport hypothetical between Wemby and a certain other generational quarterback prospect in this year's draft. I'm going to tee you up.
Yeah, so we're just documenting this in April. I know this isn't totally NBA playoffs. Bear with me, but this is going to be a major topic in October, and we want the receipt now. I am a card-carrying member of the Caleb Williams fan club. I've been all in from the beginning as someone who's from Chicago. Even though I'm not a Bears fan, so happy for Bears fans they're getting Caleb Williams. I think he's generational. So I ask you this, Jack Burney. If you could pick, would you rather have Caleb Williams or Victor Wembanyama?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great hypothetical. Like you said, it's going to lead first things first, first take sometime when the Bears are like 4-2, 5-2 in October. I think I would rather have Caleb Williams, and I love Wemby. Wemby, he's a unicorn. I think he's the defensive player of the year this year. I don't know if he's going to win. He's obviously going to be the rookie of the year, but just in terms of like looking at his offensive game, his ability to shoot the three, and he's only played 29 minutes per game this season. Per 36, he's averaging like 26 and 13 or something like that. And I'm like, that is just that he's going to be the best player in the league. I can see him being the best player in the league for 4 or 5 years, in like 4 or 5 years. Like, he's going to win multiple rings. And, but despite that, I still say Caleb Williams, because as a fan of the Cleveland Browns, we've been so, so long looking for a franchise quarterback, and Caleb Williams seems close to a sure thing. And I think quarterback's the most important position in football, and having a good quarterback to compete with the Patrick Mahomes of the world is more important, because even if you just have Wemby, Wemby was great this year. The Spurs stunk because they didn't have anybody around him. So I think if you have a good quarterback in the NFL, we've seen it with Mahomes, a great quarterback in the NFL, we've seen it with Mahomes, but you have a little bit lacking in terms of receivers, in terms of talent around him, you can still win because you have a superhero leading you down the field when you need to. But if you have a superhero and four, you know, mediocre to okay players in the NBA, unless it's LeBron James in like 2018, you're not going to do much. And so I just think, as great as Wemby is and as great as Wemby has shown as he is, I'd rather have the chance to have a generational quarterback like Caleb Williams. What do you think?
We've never seen something like Wemby before. So obviously there's the injury concern. I mean, Greg Oden, Yao Ming, just so many of the all-time great big men who are over 7'2" have these crippling lower body injuries that just shortens their career. If I could guarantee like around 2K turnoff injuries, I would pick Victor Wembanyama.
Ooh.
I think that Wemby is more likely to be the best player in the sport.
Absolutely. Caleb.
But I think Caleb is a safer bet to be top four for a decade and a half. And so for that reason, I would take Caleb Williams, because I think you will have a longer title runway with him than Wemby.
Absolutely. That's a great hypothetical. Remember, you guys heard it here first on Jack of All Trades After Dark. Speaking of After Dark, it's 11:52 Eastern when we're recording this. We're getting in the lab, doing it late. We wanted to get you guys a timely playoff preview. So let's transition into some playoff talk. Storylines. Any storylines that jump out to you playoff-wise? Like, what's the biggest playoff storyline that you envision coming from this year's playoffs?
I think, let's see, that's a good one to tee up. I think it feels like this every year in the playoffs, but this year especially, it feels like so many guys and teams, it's this year or blow it up. I mean, what happens to the Cavs if they lose?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What happens to the Suns if they lose in five? Now, they're over second apron. They don't have a lot of room to actually make moves. They're stuck with that roster, but just mentally, if that they were the third, they had the third highest odds to win the title this year, and we had accepted that they might be a play-in team. Their fall from grace this season has been catastrophic. And then, again, Joel Embiid, there's always a but with the injuries. Same for New Orleans. I just think that so many teams, especially if Denver wins again, are going to feel like they're not close to winning the title and are going to be willing to make major moves.
I totally agree. Win or blow it up. I mean, the Cavs are obviously in that position. What's going to happen if they lose in the first round? Donovan Mitchell probably is going to leave. Do you put all your chips in Garland and Mobley and try and surround them with, you know, do you trade Mitchell to the Heat? Do you trade Mitchell to the Nets? I mean, that's a question. There's always the lingering possibility. Giannis only has 2 years after this year. Is Giannis going to start putting the pressure on the Bucks front office? I mean, he already got Adrian Griffin out midseason. They're 20-21 in the second half of the season. I mean, Doc Rivers hasn't really turned that team around, and now he's injured. And now part of me is like, do you even risk bringing Giannis back? I mean, I don't think they can beat Indiana without Giannis, but that's a team that you got to look for. You know, Minnesota, you mentioned Phoenix, Minnesota, they're going to have some questions with Carl Anthony Towns because he has a lot of value. But is he really the piece? Because Anthony Edwards is kind of taking his game to that next level where he could be one of those dudes. But so there's a lot of teams that if this isn't the year, what about the Clippers? What do they do if they get bounced early? You know, they got a James Harden decision to make. Is Kawhi Leonard, is he going to be healthy? Like a lot of teams, it's their best chance to win it right now. And so I think that's going to make this one of the more exciting playoffs in recent memories. Future stars, like we said. All right, so let's just go through our playoff matchups in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference, give our picks for the first round of each series, and then we can go kind of through our bracket. Sound good to you?
Sounds great.
All right, let's start in the East. Let's start with the 4-5, which is near and dear to my heart, obviously. The Cleveland Cavaliers are taking on the Orlando Magic. This is an interesting series to me. I think the Cavs are favored, obviously. They have home court advantage. The Cavs blew the game against Charlotte intentionally on Sunday to be able to play Orlando. So that's another storyline. The Magic might be having some bulletin board material there. To me, it feels like the Magic are kind of the team that's ahead of schedule that might be happy to be there. And the Cavs seem to have all the pressure in the world on them. I feel like that's sort of the dynamic. The Magic are kind of ahead of schedule, where the Cavs are behind schedule and they need to win now because they feel like if they don't win this series, they have no chance at keeping Mitchell. So what's your read on this series? And then who do you have winning and advancing to the next round?
I think it's one of the most important game ones for a home team to win. To win this postseason. For example, if the Knicks lose game one to Philly, I still think they can win that series. If the Nuggets somehow drop one to LeBron, they know they can still probably close that out in five or six. I think the Cavs might freak out if they lose the first game to the Magic, especially if Mitchell doesn't have a good performance. I have the Cavs winning this series. I was surprised they're the second largest favorite, only behind Denver. Now, obviously, we don't have the one seeds in yet, but of the 2, 3, and 4 seeds, they have the highest odds to win their series other than Denver.
That's interesting. I think there are going to be a lot of low-scoring games in this series because I think outside of Paolo Banchero, the Magic don't really have any shot creators. And I think the Cavs still are really good defensively if Evan Mobley and Jared Allen are both playing. I think the Cavs have the best player in this series, Donovan Mitchell. Game one's going to be important because last year, obviously, the Cavs lost game one. They weren't ever fully able to recover against the Knicks. I think they need to start off well. And Jared Allen said yesterday in his, like, one of his press conferences at practice, he said that their whole thing is about throwing the first punch in this series. And I think they mean that, like, literally and, like, metaphorically, because obviously we know the light's too bright comment that the Cavs got absolutely bodied physically against the Knicks last year. I think the Cavs are going to put an extra emphasis on being very physical in this series. And for that reason, I think the Cavs are going to give the Magic trouble, especially in terms of rebounding. So I think the Cavs do win this series. I think they need to win this series. I think it's going to be hard fought, but I'll say Cavs in six in that first round series in the East. Let's go to the 1-8 series, which is the Boston Celtics, who are the third best team in NBA history in terms of net ranking behind the 97 Bulls and the 2017 Warriors. So that's a fun fact there. The Celtics, they will take on the Chicago Bulls or the Miami Heat, probably without Jimmy Butler. I'm not going to spend too much time in the series. I think the Celtics are really, really, really good, and I think they're going to sweep. So that's what I'm going to say about that series. What do you think?
Yeah, the Bulls are going to get one.
Yeah.
Bulls are going to get a game.
Yeah, they are. The Kobe White game.
Yep. The Kobe White game. And then, I mean, the Bulls ownership, they think the play-in is electric. They haven't made a trade for a player-for-player trade in over 2 years. I mean, they like the roster they have. They have no concept of trading Zach LaVine for future assets, even though he's not playing. Yeah, the Bulls are going to get one game, but we all know if the Bulls had Lonzo, Bulls would have won in five.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, he brought out the sea red towels and red panda at halftime. So he was going all out for that playing game the other night. He's happy. He loves the play-in. Like you said, they love the play-in more than any other franchise in all of basketball. So, we got the Celtics taking on the Cavs in round two. So the other side of the Eastern Conference bracket, I think one of the most interesting series is that 3-6 series between the Bucks and the Pacers. The Pacers won the regular season series against the Bucks 4-1. They played in that the in-season tournament semifinals, obviously. The Pacers won that one. The one game the Bucks did win was when Giannis put up 64, career high, and then there was the whole saga about who stole the game ball because the Pacers wanted it to give it to a guy who scored his first career point, and Giannis got really mad and, like, chased an official to the locker room. It was the whole saga. So you got that, and then you got Giannis probably isn't going to play the majority of the series. I'm worried about the Bucks. I like Giannis, and I think Giannis is one of the guys that could, you know, re-cement himself as one of the best players in the world if they were to win the title. I just don't see it. And I'm leaning Indiana in this series. I don't know how you're feeling, but I'll throw the floor to you. Obviously, the Giannis injury concerns. I think the Pacers are a pretty good team, especially offensively. What do you think?
So, I believe Giannis got injured on April 10th, which that was 8 days ago. The playoffs started in the 20th. So, it's been a week and a half since the injury. And if we think that this is a 2 to 3 week injury at least, I think it is unlikely Giannis is back before game four. And I think Milwaukee's going to have a really interesting decision. I think if you're down 3-0, you don't bring him back.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
If you're down 2-1, I'm not sure. This is a sneaky big legacy moment for Dame. I mean, think about in the past, we've had other series where like Kawhi got hurt and Paul George had an out-of-body experience for that one game. Or Luka got hurt and Jalen Brunson carried against the Jazz while he was away. And can Dame keep the ship afloat? I mean, this is what you traded. This is Dame time. This is what you thought you were getting. You thought you were getting somebody who can run the offense when Giannis is off the court, you would think in the second quarter, but now due to injury. So Dame time. I don't know. I think I'm still picking the Bucks. I can't quit Giannis. I love Giannis.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that Dame can win one.
Yeah, you're right about the Dame legacy talk, because what has Dame really done in the playoffs? He made the Western Conference Finals once and they got swept by Golden State. Like, he hasn't done much. He's done the Dame time, he's done the commercials, he's done all that. He's one of the most beloved players in the league despite not having won anything. He puts up great stats, he doesn't win anything. Now is the time where, okay, buddy, you're in the playoffs, you're back in the playoffs, it's your turn. I mean, you're gonna have to find a way to win at least one of these first two games. I think if they're down 2-0, they don't even consider bringing Giannis back. I mean, it reminds me so much of what happened with Kevin Durant back in 2019 when he gets hurt against the Rockets in the semifinals. They bring him back in that game 5 against the Raptors and he tears his Achilles and he doesn't play for another year. They can't have that happen to Giannis because he is too important to the future of this franchise. He is literally the face of their franchise. He's the face of the city of Milwaukee. Like, they need him beyond this season. So it's up to Dame. And to be honest, just in terms of Dame is a defensive liability. And I think the fact that he's going to have to, the Pacers run up and down the floor with Tyrese Halliburton. They're a great transition team. They score a ton of points. I think the pace of play kind of hurts not only Dame, but Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton. They're going to have trouble, especially without Giannis, who's a defensive player of the year caliber player, keeping up with the Pacers in transition. I'm picking the Pacers. I'm picking the Pacers in 7. It's an upset. I like Indiana. They owned them in the regular season series. And even if they do get Giannis back in this series late when they're down a game or two, Giannis isn't going to be 100%. And I just don't see the Bucks beating a talented team, especially on offensively like the Pacers. I just don't see the Bucks, especially without Giannis, being able to outscore Indiana in 2 of the first 3 games of this series. And if you give me Indiana up 2-1 with a less than 100% Giannis and they only have to get 2 more wins, I'll take my chances. So it's an upset, but I'm going to take the Pacers in that series.
You know, you've convinced me. I'm making the first ever official pick change in joke bracket history mid filling out. I will take the Pacers over the Bucks.
A lot of people are.
You know who would really help the Bucks in this series? They could get a guy like Drew Holiday. I just think that would really be the secret sauce. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, and that's like, you know, when the Dame trade was made, a lot of people were like, he doesn't play any defense. Drew, you just traded away one of the best on-ball guard defenders in the league. Like, I get, like, Damian Lillard is a lot better player in terms of offensive ability and overall game probably than Drew Holiday. But in terms of what the Bucks needed to be a championship-caliber team, they totally messed that up. So we both had the Pacers in a little bit of an upset. Then we have the 2-7, which is the Knicks and the 76ers. Despite being the 7 seed, the Sixers are actually favored in this series. I don't know. In my opinion, this whole series is contingent on, is Joel Embiid close to 100%? Because I watched the game against Miami last night, or was that last night? Or a couple nights ago, whatever. And he just didn't seem like he was 100%. And New York's a gritty, physical team. Obviously, it's Tom Thibodeau. He's going to play his guys 40 minutes, 45 minutes. They played an overtime game the other day. DiVincenzo played 53 minutes. So he's gonna put his guys all out there for as long as he can. But I just don't know if the Sixers can win this series if Embiid isn't close to 100%. Now, if you get 85, 90% of Joel Embiid, you can win this series. I just don't know how healthy he is. So I'm going to have to watch the first couple of games of this series before I make an accurate judgment on who I'm going to win. I'm leaning the Knicks right now. I think it's going to go 7 either way. So I'm going to say I'm leaning the Knicks. I'll pick the Knicks officially on this podcast, but I would not be surprised if Joel Embiid is healthier than I think if the Sixers take this. That's why I'm picking it to go 7. What do you think?
Feed me the 76ers. The 76ers are not the 7th seed because they were the 7th best team in the East this year. You could argue they were the 2nd best team. I mean, I think by record they were, if you take their average when Embiid was healthy. They have an incredible record when he played the season, and he was playing out of his mind earlier in the year. I think that the nice thing about them being the lower seed is they don't have pressure to win game one. Like, Embiid has another 3 or so days to get right. And if he kind of does it 70% in game one, like, they can drop a game one. They're the underdog. They're the road team.
Yeah.
I got Philly.
I like it. I like it. So we have Philly. You have Philly and the Pacers, and then Cavs Celtics. I have Cavs Celtics, and then Philly or Pacers and the Knicks. So I'll start with Celtics Cavs. I just don't see it going well for the Cavs. I think the Cavs kind of by what they did on Sunday's game, where they're up 6 with 2 minutes left, and they end up losing by 10 to the Charlotte Hornets because they pull all their starters. They said, look, all we want to do this year is win a first-round series. We do not care about anything beyond that. Do I think they're going to roll over and die against the Celtics? No. But do I think they're going to win more than a game? No. I just think the Celtics are too good, too versatile, too deep, especially if they stay healthy in the first-round series. I like the Celtics in 5 over the Cavs, which makes it a little bit interesting about Donovan Mitchell's future, but I just think the Celtics are too talented for the Cavs to do anything more than winning a game against them.
I think mentally, if the Cavs lose to Boston, it's way better than if they were on the other side of the bracket and blew a series to the Knicks or Philly, or because Boston, they're minus 200 to make the finals. People expect them to beat everybody. There is no shame, as long as the games are actually semi-competitive, there's no shame in even getting swept by Boston at this point. So I think that the Cavs can, if they crush the Magic and at least give Boston a little bit of a fight, that's a solid building block for next year. But yeah, I mean, I have the Celtics.
Yeah. Sixers and Pacers, who you got?
I got Philly. My logic is I'm taking the best player in the series. That's what I did for both rounds. And I'm taking Joel Embiid. And I think you could argue Maxey is as good as anyone on the Pacers. So.
Yeah, Pacers, Knicks. I think that if we could see Pacers, Knicks, I think it'd be a fun series. I think it could go 6 or 7. A little bit of a throwback to the Reggie Miller versus Knicks days. But I think the Knicks are a better team. They're better coached. And I think Jalen Brunson probably is the best player in the series. So I would take the Knicks to win that series. Setting up a 1-2 in the East, Knicks-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. I'm going to keep it short on the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think anybody in the East is going to beat the Celtics. I just think they're the clear best team. I think, you know, I don't know if they're going to run through the Eastern Conference, but I don't see them losing more than 4 games in the first 3 rounds of the playoffs. And I think they're going to have very little trouble getting back to the finals for the first time, I believe, in 2 years. But what do you think? Do you have the Celtics over the Sixers?
I have Celtics in 7. Can I just say, NBA Twitter/the entire East Coast is going to erupt. We're getting New York versus Philly, and then potentially New York versus Boston or Philly versus Boston. It's going to be a tough one out East.
Oh yeah. It's going to be great. So we both agree that the Celtics are going to be the Eastern Conference representatives. We'll go through the Western Conference bracket. Then we have a little bit of best player in the world talk to get to a little bit. So in the Western Conference side of things, the matchups, let's start with the 4-5, which I'm trying to look for right now. Oh, it's one of the most, my favorite first round series. This is either one of these teams could win this series, the Clippers versus the Mavericks. The Luka, we both love Luka, and I think he is going to heavily influence my pick of this series. But I mean, it depends on what Clippers team you're going to get. If Kawhi's fully healthy, the Clippers could beat anyone. But I just don't know the answer to that question. And on the contrary, you have two of the best players in terms of crunch time, fourth quarter, closing time, winning time in the playoffs, Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving on the other side. Who do you like in this series? I think it's going to be one of the better first-round series.
It is here where I need to make my mandatory disclosure that just listing some of my favorite players in the NBA, just so the viewing audience knows, so they can see where my judgment is clouded, I would say that my favorite NBA players include Jimmy Butler, former Bull, DeMar DeRozan, Drew Holiday, and Luka, I would probably say, are my 4 favorite guys. And just letting you know, that might taint my judgment a bit, but I am going with the Mavericks. I think that Luka, I mean, he absolutely cooks the Clippers. He was 20 and 21 years old in those other series, and he has gotten better, and Kawhi and Paul George have gotten worse. This seems like the first time, I mean, he never really, I think, bought in fully to Kristaps, or I mean, even with Brunson, Brunson wasn't ready yet. Now he has a true partner in crime in Kyrie, to where I think Luka's comfortable in the fourth quarter. He doesn't feel like he has to have the ball at all times. And I think that makes the Mavs more dangerous. And I think it makes him a better teammate for the playoffs. So I got the Mavs in six.
I have the Mavericks in six as well. I really, really like Luka. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And he's the best player in this series. Like you said, he's a lot better than anybody else the Clippers can throw at him. And I want to talk about Kyrie Irving a little bit. I love Kyrie Irving, even though despite all the crazy stuff he said, the crazy stuff he's done, just because he's won the championship with the Cavaliers. This is the first normal Kyrie Irving season since like 2017, and that he's stayed healthy. He's kept his mouth kind of, you know, quiet about, you know, conspiracy theories, all that kind of stuff. He's just stuck to pure basketball. And you see the results. This Mavericks team, I think the Mavericks, this might sound crazy, I think the Mavericks have the best chance out of any team in the West to beat Denver. Like, that's how high I am on this Mavericks team. And I think a lot of that is because not only has Luka bought in fully, like you said, but Kyrie Irving's kind of bought in fully to Luka. And that partnership is really thriving. And they can beat anybody in the playoffs because those two are so dynamic, especially offensively, that and you need at least a couple of those guys to give yourself a legitimate chance to win the NBA title. No offense to the Clippers, I can see the Clippers winning the series and us being very wrong, especially if Kawhi Leonard is healthy. But in terms of just playoff performers, Luka and Kyrie have been a lot more consistent over the last, you know, couple playoff runs, especially Luka, than Kawhi, Paul George, and James Harden especially have been.
Kyrie hasn't had a good playoff run since the Obama administration. Just need to set the record straight, but continue.
Well, wait, no, 2017 was that Trump?
Was that, yeah, I guess that was. Was that, was he? Okay.
He was good. You know,
okay. Yeah, the first year of the Trump administration. Just
yes.
Throwing that out there.
Hey,
it's put been some a
respect
while
on the 2017.
It's been
Cavs,
a while, who, Kyrie.
One of my hot takes.
Kawhi had a Finals MVP since then.
One of my hot takes on the Cavs, the second LeBron era Cavs, is that the 2017 Cavs were actually more talented than the 2016 Cavs, but they ran into the best team ever. So we'll save that. But yeah, Kyrie was good that year. But maybe I am just overrating him in terms of, you know, how much I liked him in Cleveland. So we both have the Mavericks. We'll go with the one seed in the West. How about the Oklahoma City Thunder? Shout out OKC. What a turnaround. They were the 10 seed last year. They're going to get the Pelicans or the Sacramento Kings. I like OKC. I'm a little bit worried about Oklahoma City and just in terms of their depth. They don't really have a backup center. They're going to kind of get exposed in later rounds because of that. But SGA, you know, they're very talented. They're very well coached. They had a great season. I think they're going to win this first round series against probably the Sacramento Kings. What do you think?
Yeah. When's the last time the one seed has been more disrespected than OKC? I mean, nobody is saying that they have the best odds to beat Denver. People are saying the Suns, the Clippers, the Mavericks, the Timberwolves, I think all before OKC, and the Lakers. I mean, for the LeBron fans out there, I think that we all agree this is probably the deepest the West has ever been. And yes, there is then one team that has won more games than all of the other teams slash a tiebreaker. And I feel like nobody views them as a legitimate threat. And I agree they're ahead of schedule, but I don't think they're getting their fair share of respect. And I think they are going to absolutely annihilate whoever they get in round one.
I've been saying this about the Thunder recently, on this podcast even. They remind me a little bit of the 2013-2014 Warriors, which was before the Warriors won the title. Like, they were good. You know, Steph was putting up these great numbers. They were losing close in the playoffs to good teams. Like, those Warriors teams, they lost to that Clippers team with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul in their primes. Like, this, the Thunder feel ahead of schedule, but it would not surprise me if next year the Thunder just won the title. Like, I say they're ahead of schedule, but they are very, very close. I just don't think this year is their year. But it's coming. And I mean, SGA, he could be one of those guys that catapults themselves into being the best player in the world if they can go on a run. But I mean, what a great season for them. Yeah, I agree. They're gonna absolutely roll in round one against whoever they get. Let's talk about the two most interesting series in the West are these next two. We'll start with Denver versus the Lakers. Like I said earlier, I think this is the only time the Lakers could have caught Denver with a chance to win this series, just because they're catching them early. They're going to be fully healthy. LeBron's going to be rested. But Denver, the Lakers haven't won. So you have to win four. Obviously, you know, you have to win four games to advance in a playoff series. It's taken the Lakers 15 their last 15 games to win four against the Nuggets. The Nuggets have won eight in a row. It's been a very lopsided rivalry. So I like LeBron. He's obviously my favorite player ever. He's the best player in the world, best player ever. According to some, according to me, Nick Wright, some others who you may ask, not Chauncey Seeger, but I just don't think LeBron and the Lakers have enough firepower to stop Joker, Jamal Murray, and those guys. So I think the Nuggets are going to win the series. I think it goes six. I'm going to give the Lakers two games, but I think the Nuggets should make relatively quick work of the Lakers. What do you think?
Yeah, it was the whole Lakers tanking to get the eight seed was just so ridiculous to be on so many levels. But the biggest one is Jamal Murray is injured right now. I mean, I understand he is like playing. He'll be playing in these games, but he is not at 100%. And while the Lakers did get swept last year, every game was competitive in the third quarter, maybe even the fourth quarter. I forget exactly. But, I mean, the Lakers were in it. They were not total blowouts until the very end of the game. And so I think that if you want to take a shot at Jokic, the best chance right now is when Jamal Murray is not at 100%. And when also you get more rest in these first round games. From my understanding, the conference finals, it's every other day. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be too hard for LeBron to keep up with at his age at this point. So I have the Nuggets in five. Nuggets in five.
Yeah. And like you said, the Lakers were competitive last year, but they just ran out of gas. And like you said, part of that was probably because LeBron was rested. But I just don't see a world in which the Nuggets lose this series. And I mean, I don't know. It just feels like the Lakers, I mean, like you said, they couldn't tank to play the Thunder. Do I think the Lakers could have beaten the Thunder? I do, but they had to win that game and give themselves a chance in the playoffs. And like you said, if the Lakers wanted to win a title this year, which I feel like every year you have LeBron, especially in the last couple of years of LeBron, because we don't know how much time he has left, it's championship or bust. And if you have legitimate championship aspirations in the Western Conference this year, you're going to have to go through Denver. And like I said, if you're going to have to go through them, you might as well play them with your best chance to beat them, which is now. And then we got Minnesota and Phoenix. I'm not going to spend too much time in this series. I think it could go either way. It's close for me, but Phoenix has kind of dominated Minnesota recently. They dominated the season series. They beat them twice in their last 10 games. And with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, much like Luka and Kyrie, those two can kind of win you playoff games in the fourth quarter when it comes to winning time. And no offense to Anthony Edwards in Minnesota, sans one game last year against the Denver Nuggets, which they won in overtime, they haven't really done that, whereas Durant and Booker have. So I'm going to take the Suns in six against the Timberwolves. What do you think?
I'm going to believe in the power of playoff defense and the playoff whistle, and I'm going to take the Timberwolves. I understand that the Suns have more pedigree. They have the player who's hit the highest apex at any point in their careers in Kevin Durant. They have two scorers who can light it up for 40 any given night. But I'm hoping that there will be a defensive mismatch between what Gobert and Kat are able to do to Nurkic and Royce O'Neal. And I think that also Jaden McDaniels is not a nobody. I think it's really discounted last year that he broke his hand because he got mad and punched a wall, but he was then not there for the playoffs in the same way. And I think that he will be able to at least slow down the point of attack for Minnesota. And I'm hoping Ant takes the lead. I'm really banking on Anthony Edwards is going to put up numbers similar to what Luka did when he made his playoff debut. I'm hoping that Ant is an all-time playoff performer.
I would love to see that. Dallas OKC, who you got?
I got the Mavericks. I got the Mavericks. Again, where you see the disclosure and don't afford to gamble or don't gamble anything you can't afford to lose, but I will be betting on the Mavericks in that series. And I think that Luka is going to remind us and what he is like in the playoffs and go back to the conference finals.
I have the Mavericks as well. we both really like Luka. And like I said earlier, I think they have the best chance to beat Denver. And I think we're going to get that matchup, not to spoil my next pick, but I am going to take Denver over Phoenix, which would set up a Denver-Dallas Western Conference Finals. I'm assuming you have the same conference final.
Some of us really believe in Anthony Edwards and are taking the Minnesota Timberwolves.
You are.
Denver Nuggets. I am.
Wow.
I you know, maybe we're gonna repeat the Jokic, somebody stop him, brother, I have 47 quote from a few years ago when Gobert got clowned by Joker. But I'm doing the making this pick for a few reasons, mostly because of Jamal Murray's knee. I think that there's a chance. I mean, the Lakers and Minnesota are two physical, scrappy teams. It's going to be a total rock fight to get past the Lakers. I mean, even if they beat LeBron, you don't go out, you don't come out of a LeBron and AD playoff series
right
clean. So I think that Murray might get slowed down, and I think that Gobert will be able to muck things up enough down low that Aaron Gordon and Jokic will not be able to do the same nonsense they do to ruin the other 28 teams in the league. And I like Anthony Edwards.
I like it. So you have Minnesota against Dallas, Luka versus Ant. Oh my goodness. To go to the finals, who you got in the finals out of the West?
I have the Dallas Mavericks. I think this is where they can. The Mavericks and the Suns have similar arguments for beating the Wolves, which is they can simply outscore them and it doesn't matter that you can play good defense. But I am hoping that, again, I'm applying a lot of ifs here, but beating Denver will be, again, a total rock fight. And I think that Luka is, I think this is the time for Luka. He's had a few years to develop. This is the best supporting cast he's ever had. It's time for him to show us what he can actually do. And I think he's going to go to the finals.
I've got Denver over Dallas. I think it's going to be Denver-Boston. And I'll go quick. I think Boston's going to win the finals. I got Boston beating Denver and winning the championship.
Also, for the record, if it is Denver-Dallas, I think Denver would win pretty handily. And I have the Mavericks getting killed in five in the finals by the Celtics. I think the Boston Celtics will be your NBA champion. Mickey Mouse ring, but...
We both agree. With the Celtics, I mean, in terms of, like, what I said earlier, the third best team in terms of net ranking ever. The other, like, top 10, I think, all won titles. So, Celtics, if they don't win a title, it'd be considered a failure. Yeah. I just think they're
an all-time what if they don't go to game seven of the finals. If they lost in six in the finals, it's still an unbelievable choke job, given how well this team has performed.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So we both agree on Boston. All right, let's talk about one of the overriding topics of this NBA playoffs is who is going to come away with the belt, the best player in the world belt. Giannis had it when he won the title. Then Curry got it back a little bit when he won the title, I think. And then Jokic has had it, and Jokic has retained it after winning the title last season. I think Jokic has the belt going into this playoff run. So we're going to do it draft style. We'll go snake draft. So you can have the first pick. I'll take two and three, and we'll go from there. So first pick, who do you think in terms of who has the most to gain with a deep run in these playoffs, and who could put themselves into the conversation of, you know, if they make a deep run in the playoffs, they could be the one holding the belt when it's all said and done.
So those are slightly different. If I have somebody who, even if they go to the finals on a deep playoff run, we're not going to consider the best player in the world, is that still valued highly?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. All right. I'll take the first pick, and I have to take Joel Embiid. He can shut up all the doubters. If playing injured after missing a bunch of games, goes on a run, goes through an all-time Celtics team that he's never been able to beat. And he could also then have a finals versus Jokic, again, asserting himself as the best big man in the sport. He has the most to gain in these playoffs.
I like it. With my first pick and the second pick, I'm going to take Jason Tatum. I just think, like, obviously the Celtics team, we've talked about how good they are. They're an all-time team. If he doesn't perform, not only is it going to be an all-time failure for the Celtics, but he is not going to be looked at among the best five, six guys in the league. And I think he's kind of, you know, on the outside looking in terms of the top three or four guys in the league right now. He's been outstanding this season. He didn't really show up last time the Celtics made the finals against the Warriors. He had a ton of turnovers in that series. He didn't play well at all. But if the Celtics can win this title, like we both think they should, and Tatum can play well, be the finals MVP, I think not only is he going to, you know, be in the conversation for best player in the world, but he's going to be a lot more well-respected in terms of talking about the top players in the league. And he is going to, you know, catapult himself into face of the league conversation. In my opinion. So I got Tatum with my first pick. My second pick, I'm going to take Luka, in that I think for sure, 100%, if Luka wins the title this year. And not only, I don't even think Luka has to win the title this year to be considered the best player in the world. I just think Luka has to beat Jokic in the playoffs. If Luka can get past Jokic in the playoffs in the Western Conference Finals, I think Luka is the best player in the world no matter what happens in the finals. That's my opinion, but I'll take Luka with my second pick.
I think that Luka and Giannis are the only two guys who have a chance at the end of this postseason of having a credible argument of being better than Jokic. I guess maybe Embiid if he beats Jokic in the finals, but I still think people would pick Jokic. I am going to say, if this team wins the title, if he carries his team, wins a finals MVP, where does Kawhi go on the all-time rankings? He would have three rings and three finals MVPs on three different teams. His excuses, right? If you've any year you didn't win the championship, if you pack it up under an excuse, most of his are injuries, not poor play. I mean, he has had several series in the last 5 years where he's been breathing fire in the playoffs, just annihilating everyone. And then he gets hurt and then it's over. And I think that he would pass KD. I think he would pass Moses. I mean, I think we are looking at low teens all time, like 11, 12, best player ever.
Yeah, that's and a great take. I mean, I didn't consider Kawhi. I mean, like you said, like he's already done that. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the only other guy that's done that is LeBron. I think Kawhi would join LeBron as the only other guy to win three separate finals and finals MVPs on three different teams. So, yeah, that would catapult himself up there for sure. Who's your last pick?
For my last pick, similar premise, assuming they win the title, it clears every red mark on KD's ledger. He, at first, people were criticizing him again. When he got traded to Phoenix, they were the instant favorite to win the title by a wide margin. And this year, like I said, they had the third best odds. But expectations have cooled. I don't think many people are picking them to win the West. I mean, a lot of people aren't picking them to get out of round one. So the expectations have simmered back down to where this team is accepted as not a super team. It's really hard to call this a big three, too. Bradley Beal's good. He's a very good player. He's a great guy to have on your team. But I wouldn't say that he's as good as some of the other third men on the great big three teams. So if he wins with Booker as a very capable second-team All-NBA number two, I think that he would have a ring to call his own. Even if Booker and him are equally good in this, in a championship run, he would still get so much credit from people who I think have been very critical of him.
I agree. I was going to take KD there if you didn't take him. Now, this guy I'm going to take isn't necessarily a guy that I think has best player in the world potential at all yet, but he has a lot to gain in this playoff run. Now, I'm just going to talk about him because he's on the Cavs. I'm going to say Evan Mobley with my last pick. And not only does Evan Mobley have a lot to gain in terms of he's playing for a max contract extension and playing for, like, you know, being fully kind of integrated into the Cavs for future plans. Like, if he does well in this playoffs, not only is he going to be extended and get a max extension probably, but if he does well in this playoffs and shows that maybe he can be a viable second option, maybe that he is taking that leap that the Cavs so desperately need him to take, is it crazy to think Donovan Mitchell might consider staying? I mean, that's something you have to ask yourself. If Mobley, you know, shows out in these playoffs and shows that, man, he can be the second best guy on a team that can make a deep playoff run, maybe Mitchell's like, look, I don't know if I'm going to do better around the league in terms of the Eastern Conference than playing with this guy right here. So not only in terms of, you know, his own future, but in terms of the future of the franchise, I think Evan Mobley and the Cavs have a lot to gain if Mobley does well in these playoffs. So that was a fun little draft exercise there. We're going to close it out as we always do with our best bets. Best bets. I have three. I don't know how many you have. I'm going to start with, I don't know if you have this one, but on DraftKings, you can look at favorites to win Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals MVP. Tatum to win Eastern Conference Finals MVP was +110, and I bet it already.
That's such a good bet.
It's plus money, and like I just don't see the Celtics losing. And if the Celtics win the Eastern Conference Finals, Tatum is going to be the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. So that's my first best bet. Tatum to win Eastern Conference Finals MVP plus money, +110. I would bet it now. Wager responsibly, but I would say it's a must bet.
Man, I don't have anything on my board that I like as much as that. That's way better than what I brought. Okay, so my first pick, I am taking Denver laying 1.5 games at -130 against the Los Angeles Lakers. So to clarify for the folks at home, you have to win the series by more than one game. So the Lakers have to lose the series 4-0, 4-1, or 4-2. If the Nuggets lose the series or it goes to game seven, the bet is lost. But I think a lot of people think the Lakers will barely take it five. So if they take it six, you still win your bet. So give me Denver. Sorry, LeBron, but it's Jokic's time now.
I like it. For my second best bet, it's also a Western Conference series. It's you can bet how many games each series goes, like over under. I have Clippers Mavericks going over 5.5 games. I just think that this series is going to go six at least, because I just think both teams are too good for them not to each win two games. So I think Clippers Mavericks to go over 5.5 games. I think it's like -135 in that range. I would take that bet for sure.
If Kawhi is out the whole series, do you still like that bet?
No, I do not like it at all if Kawhi's out the whole series.
Just saying. Skip Bayless might have an update for us soon on his health. All right, my next bet. I am taking the plus side now of this series spread. I'm buying the 1.5 with Minnesota -137. So to clarify on this one, if the Timberwolves lose in game seven or win the series, you win the bet. I think a lot of people have said in their instant reaction, this is a 7-game series. Great, you win your bet. Doesn't actually matter how game seven goes. If the Timberwolves protect their home court for the first three games of their first three home games, your bet cashes. Congratulations. So I think that Minnesota can at least keep it a respectable series.
I like it. Give me your third best bet.
Yeah, on DraftKings, you can still get the Mavs to win the series against Clippers at -120.
Yeah, that's simple enough. All right, I got I'm trying to find it. Here it is. Okay, you can bet on in each playoff series, the points leader for each playoff series. You can get Jokic at +100 right now, and Nuggets Lakers plus money for Jokic. I think part of that's because they're playing LeBron, and LeBron's +330. But I don't see a world if Denver wins this series, which Jokic gets outscored by anyone on either side. So I'll take Jokic to be the series points total points leader +100, and Nuggets Lakers as my third best bet. But out of my three bets, Lestat Pad is a very good nickname for LeBron, 100%. But in terms of my three best bets, the Tatum one is the one that I'm fully confident in.
Yeah, that's the best bet on the board.
All right, man. Any final thoughts on these NBA playoffs before we go our separate ways for this week's show?
Just have to give a quick shout out to your Chicago Bulls, Kobe White, stardom soon. Last year, Bulls Instagram, Bulls Twitter, Bulls whatever, Reddit, all were joking, oh, trade everyone and build around Kobe White. Yeah, no, that's a viable option now, potentially. So I think the Bulls should, they'll beat the Heat, they'll lose to Boston, and then I hope they make some trades and try and get rid of some of the older pieces and get Kobe some people his age to build a new core.
I like it. And if I had a vote for most improved player, I would vote for Kobe White. I think Tyrese Maxey's probably going to win it, but Kobe White for sure is the most improved player in terms of what he's done, you know, going into this year and to what he is now. Chauncey, man, thank you for coming on this week's show, for previewing the NBA playoffs. Of course, we'll probably have you back on soon. Not sure when, probably some football stuff, but as always, you're welcome on anytime, my friend.
Thank you, sir. And also a closing note for, we discussed this, I believe, last time. Ryan Poles did, in fact, get my letter, and all I'm saying is Justin Fields got traded. So I can't promise that it was all me, but I'd like to think he read it.
All right, man. Yes, he did read it. He did read it. You heard it here first. Chauncey is the reason Justin Fields is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of Jack of All Trades. We'll be back next week with another episode. Be sure to like us, rate us 5 stars, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, it's Chauncey and Jack signing off. We'll see you next time.